I want to get into God's Word right now. If you're looking for message notes, you'll find them online or on the Bayside Church app. If you'd like to find 1 Peter, that's what we're going to go to first on this message, 1 Peter chapter 4. The title of the message is The Gospel to Go. If you go and get something to go, it means that you're getting something to take away. I saw online during the week there was Thai to go. And so that's Thai food that you can pick up and take with you and enjoy, rice and spice and all things nice. So if you get something to go, it's talking about food that you take away. And so I want to talk about the importance of food to the gospel. I know this is a topic that is very, very dear to your stomach. And so just picking up from what Mark Connor shared last week, brilliant message, by the way. If you missed out on that last weekend at church, please make sure you watch it or listen to the podcast during the week. He shared about building God's house and 7 things that we can pick 1 or 2 of each and make sure we're putting these things into practice in our lives and in this church community to build this house of God. And part of his message, he talked about the importance of hospitality and of welcoming the stranger or welcoming the visitor. He did a little skit. He got a bunch of people up around here and then he invited 1 person to be the loner. In this particular case, it was Fraser Moore. And Fraser was standing here and all the others were standing around here talking to each other and being friendly to one another, but they were completely ignoring poor old Fraser over there. So we've had a few counselling sessions during the week and he's starting to feel a whole lot better. But you know, then he said, Mark said, so is this a friendly church? And really, we didn't know what to say because the answer is yes and no. They're friendly to each other, but they weren't being friendly and inclusive to someone like Fraser who was new. And that was very much like Bayside back in 1992, 93, when Kevin Connor visited us. We were a small group of people who had been sent out by another church to pioneer Bayside Church, to plant a church in the Bayside suburbs of Melbourne. And so we knew each other and we were friendly to one another and we thought we were a friendly church. In our heads, we were. Amongst ourselves, we were. And yet people that were visiting would come in for maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then regularly I was getting feedback like this. Love coming to the church. Worship times are awesome. Teaching of the word is fantastic. Nobody talks to me. I'm going somewhere else. Interesting, isn't it? Like, you can have all of the cake, but if you haven't got the icing, it's not as good. And so I shared that with the church. I thought, okay, well, I've got to be honest with our church community. And so I told them what our visitors were saying. And you know, they were absolutely fantastic. Everyone in the church realized what was happening and changed immediately. And then we were getting all this feedback of, wow, this is such a friendly church. I love it. I'm staying. And the church started to grow because we addressed that. And we need to address this on a regular basis. Almost every gathering at Bayside, we have at least 1 visitor, invariably a whole lot more than that. Welcome to our guests this evening here in the service. And I hope that the people around you will look out for you and you know, make sure that you get to the hospitality lounge or grab you a coffee and chat with you, or maybe, just maybe, invite you out for supper after church or something like that to help you feel a part of the church if you are looking for a church. And so 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 11 addresses the importance of hospitality. And so let's read these verses together. 1 Peter 4 from verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. I trust that's what I'm doing this evening and every time I teach and preach the word here in this church. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, a couple of things I want us to notice, first of all. Number one, loving each other deeply includes offering hospitality to one another without grumbling. Isn't it fascinating how Peter just adds those two words? Doesn't say just, you know, offer hospitality to one another just without grumbling. Why does he say that? Because the Holy Spirit knows that all of us can be guilty of grumbling. Like, you know, you've invited people to come over, and then you've had a big week or you're tired, but the people are coming and you wish they weren't. The strange thing is they probably had a big week too, and they might wish they weren't coming to your place. It's a great start to a wonderful evening. So without grumbling, it's like, okay, they're coming, we've invited them, we're tired, but they're coming and we are going to make it a great night. You know, this couple have had you over and you've had some hospitality at their place and it was okay. Maybe you didn't completely click, but now you feel duty bound. Oh, they've had us over, so I suppose we should have them over here. Offer hospitality without grumbling. And it says there, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So there are times where we're serving, but we're feeling weak and tired. And it's times like that we call upon God. We say, Lord, you know how I'm feeling. You know how the week has been. You know that we'd rather have a night off tonight, but this is organized. And so would you fill us with your strength, please? And turn this night into a real beauty. And then watch the Holy Spirit in action. The second thing to note here is that hospitality is one gift we can use to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so there are various forms of the grace of God. We often focus on the saving grace of God. We receive grace to be saved, but there is also sustaining grace, grace to keep you going through the difficult times of life, and there is serving grace, which is what Peter is talking about here. And we are to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. A steward is someone who manages or looks after what belongs to another. And so the gifts we have are not ours, they belong to God. And he gave them to us by his grace. And he will empower those gifts by his grace so that we are completely reliant upon him for fruitfulness in the way that we serve him and serve others. We all have received grace from God to serve other people in various ways. And hospitality is a vital way that we can serve one another. So let's think about this for a few minutes. The New Testament church was founded on hospitality. It started with Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, on a regular basis, you see Jesus sitting with people and eating with people, and particularly having hospitality with people that the religious people of the day did not associate with and grumbled about Jesus as a result. Consider the verses in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 18 and 19. For John, talking about John the Baptist, he came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Fascinating. You know, with the religious legalists, you cannot win. You are damned if you do and damned if you don't. John comes along, he's like, holy Joe, you know, I don't eat much, I don't drink, I'm always fasting. And you go, oh, well, he must be demon-possessed. That's encouraging. So Jesus comes along, he's completely different. He's sitting with people, tax collectors, sinners, you know, the up and out, the down and out. And Jesus was hanging out with all of these people and he was eating and he was drinking and associating with people. And so the religious are standing back. Well, he hasn't got a demon, but he has a gluttony and a drinking problem, because that's what they're saying here. And yet Jesus' final statement in those verses is amazing. He says, wisdom is proved right by her actions. And so what he's saying is that those who are wise will discern why John behaved in the way he did as a forerunner to the Messiah, and those who are wise will discern why Jesus was as he was. Now, I don't believe that Jesus was a glutton, and I don't believe that Jesus was a drunkard, because he is the sinless Son of God. But by association, he was sitting with people that the religious would have nothing to do with, and he was sitting there and he was eating with them. Maybe he was having a glass of wine with them, I'm not sure. But by association, he was wrong in the religious people's eyes. My question is, who are we to be like, John the Baptist or Jesus? Who are we to emulate? Jesus, right? It's not a trick question. Jesus gave people the gospel to go. He gave them, in eating with them and associating with them, he gave them something to take away. And then he founded his church in the same way. It started at the Passover meal, as he instituted that around a meal. And that's the way it continued. In fact, every major event after the crucifixion happened over food. And then the New Testament church continued in the same way. And so let's look at these very quickly. There's five of them. Number one, Jesus proved that he was really risen from the dead by eating food. He meets these two guys, two of his disciples. One of them is Cleopas, the other one is unnamed. They're walking from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. It was 11 kilometers away from Jerusalem. And as they're walking along, they're pretty discouraged. Jesus has died. They were followers of Jesus. They were expecting a whole lot more. And so they're very disappointed. And they're walking along and they're talking with each other and they're looking sad. And Jesus joins them, but they don't recognize him. And so he has a little bit of a chat with them. So why are you sad? Oh, I tell them a story about Jesus. And Jesus is probably thinking, yes, that's me. That's what happened. But he's not revealing himself to them. And during this walk, the Bible tells us that Jesus gave them a Bible study that covered the entire Hebrew scriptures, what we refer to as the Old Testament, everything from Genesis to Malachi that mentions him. Isn't that? Wouldn't you love to have been on that walk? That would have been an incredible Bible study. The Bible tells us that he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And then they get to the turnoff to Emmaus, and Jesus is going to keep walking on. And then they say, look, it's getting late in the day. Why don't you come and have dinner with us? And so Jesus says, yeah, okay. And so these two disciples and Jesus are sitting down and they're eating together. And then Luke tells us that when he was at table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. I'm sure we've all had guests around from dinner that we wish would. What an amazing event. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 41, it says that Jesus was not seen by all the people after his resurrection, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus is proving here that he's not just some disembodied spirit being. He's not a ghost. He's a human being, a man of flesh and bones. And he's eating with them and associating with them. He's not a figment of their imagination. Number two, Jesus restored Peter and the disciples at a meal. As I said before, the disciples were incredibly discouraged by Jesus' death. And so right at the end of the Gospel of John in chapter 21, it tells us the story of Peter and the other disciples. Peter said, I'm going to go fishing, because that's what he was used to. That was his comfort zone. The others said, we'll come with you. And they started fishing. And John records that they fished all night, but they caught nothing. And then early in the morning, they see this man standing on the beach. They're not sure who it is. They're certainly not registering that it's Jesus. And this guy calls out. He says, throw your nets. Oh, no, first of all, he said, have you caught anything? And they go, no, we haven't caught anything. So they fished all night and caught nothing. Then he says, throw your nets out onto the right side. So obviously they'd been throwing the nets on the wrong side. Throw your nets on the right side, and then they pulled it in, and there were so many fish that they had to call their friends in another boat to come and help them drag this net into shore. When they got onto the beach, they realized that it was Jesus, and Jesus had already made a fire, and he had fish already on the fire, and he had bread as well. Fish and bread. Ring a bell? And he said, come and eat. In fact, that's got to be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's in John 21, and it says, come and have breakfast. There's a good verse to memorize and to put into practice. In fact, I charge you all, come and have breakfast every day this week, okay? Because that's what the Bible says. And then also over that meal, he restored Peter. Peter had denied him 3 times. And so Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than these? And people have wondered, well, what's he talking about, these? I want you to picture where they were. They were standing on a beach. There was a massive net full of fish. There was over 150 fish. Someone had counted. They were there. Peter was a fisherman. And so Jesus and Peter are standing there, and Peter says, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than fishing, Peter? Do you love me more than your career, the way that you've always earned money? And Peter says, yes, you know I love you. And he asked him the same question 3 times until Peter got upset. And each time Jesus said, okay, if you love me, I've fed you, now you feed my sheep. And he restored Peter and reoriented him away from what he had always done to now be a fisher of people and a feeder of sheep. The restoration. What better way to restore a fractured friendship than over a meal? Number 3, Jesus gave the Great Commission at a meal. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 16. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He interrupted the dinner. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. He gave them the gospel to go over a meal. Number 4, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit at a meal. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. So again, they're sitting around, they're having dinner together, they're eating together, and as part of the conversation, Jesus said to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And 10 days later they were. And then number 5, and finally, the first church did life together over food. We looked at this a few weeks ago in the message I taught called All Together Now from Acts chapter 2. And in verses 46 and 47 of Acts 2, it says, every day they, the church, this fledgling group of people, continued to meet together in the temple courts, so the big gathering, and then they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In other words, the church was growing. And according to this, one of the key ways the church was growing was through hospitality. And hospitality is wonderful, you know, because pretty well all of us can do this in some shape or form. And it's not an upfront ministry, it's not a visible ministry. Not everybody knows that it's going on, but the people who are a part of it love it. And you say, well, I can't cook. Well, that's fine. Other people can. I say to everyone, just bring something or tell them what to bring. And so, you know, you don't have 100 plates of sandwiches. Mix it up. Move it around different homes. Meet in other places. If a nice day like this, meet at the park. Have hospitality. Invite one another. Enjoy God's presence and the presence of each other. That way, the church grew phenomenally through the book of Acts. And one of the big ways it did that was by people hanging out with one another and eating together. Later in the book of Acts, God used food to reinforce the acceptance of everyone by the gospel, even the Gentiles, even those we struggle with thinking that the gospel just might even be for them as well. You know, those same people that Jesus sat and ate with and received criticism about If you hang out with some of those people, people will criticize you too. We still have people around who know how to channel their inner Pharisee way too well. And so let us follow the example of Jesus. I want to be like him. What about you? Let us love each other deeply by offering hospitality to one another without grumbling, and use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Now, I want to interview a couple right now who have an exceptional gift of hospitality. And so if someone would like to remove the pulpit for me, please. And I'm going to invite Russ and Di Porteous. If you guys would come up, that would be wonderful. Welcome, welcome. Who knows Russ and Di? It's like the entire church. No surprises. You've been part of Bayside for
16 years.
Wonderful. And Russ and Di have been hospitable for pretty well the whole time I've known them. You've always, you know, connected with people, had people around and everything. But we've had an initiative here at Bayside over the last couple of years called Meet the Family. And this year, Russ and Di have kind of grabbed it by both horns and said, yeah, we're going to run with this. And so I would love you guys to tell the story about, first of all, what you love about hospitality, what lights the fire on the inside of you about hospitality.
That was easy. I read the Gospels and it tells me that we need to be connected. I think I've heard you say very early on, Rob, that when we're close together, we keep hot.
Yeah.
And so if I don't know your name, it's very difficult for me to have a relationship with you, and I can't keep hot with you. So did I just have a Christy moment? Okay.
She's brought a shovel if you want to borrow it. This is not...
I'm okay with that. Nothing bothers me. And so we just want to share our time together over meals. And when the church initiated Meet the Family a couple of years ago, we were a host family and we decided to pick it up. Now, we are blessed that we have a very large home and a very large pizza oven. So we like to connect people over the pizza oven.
Yeah. So you built the pizza oven. You designed and built it. Is that correct?
I did build it. I live streamed it on Facebook over about a year. And many of you saw it and you would see me at 1 o'clock in the morning covered in mud inside with my legs dangling out. If you can search it on Facebook, search for pizza oven 2016 and you'll find literally hundreds of photographs of me with my legs dangling outside the pizza oven assembling.
It's crazy. It's probably had like 5 million hits or something or other.
There were 300 people at one point on a live stream watching me build the pizza oven. I had to set up a light stand, because it was like one, I'd go to work and then I would do it at night. And I had a light stand and my camera with rubber bands and sticky tape holding it on a stand so that people could watch. And they were asking questions, and I had my son Will giving feedback while we were doing it. He was answering the questions.
That's wonderful. Just getting it out there, and hopefully you've inspired a lot of other people as well. So, I mean, the pizza oven is amazing. We were part of Meet the Family last Saturday evening, which was stunning. So, you know, met some people I'd never met before, met a family that are brand new to Bayside, had an opportunity to stand around, chat, know their names, all of that kind of stuff. So it was fabulous. How do you go about inviting people? Don't look at him.
No, Russ is really good at it. He just sort of looks around the room and, you know, you end up with a house full of people that you, honest, I've got no idea.
Right.
Sometimes who they are. Sometimes there's, you know, friends that have brought people with them. Just recently we had somebody just bring a single guy, and it was a very small dinner that we had. And we just got to share very intimately and really get to know this gentleman, and it was a really, really special time.
Wonderful.
But a lot of it is just, hey, what are you doing at the end of a service? And just ask the question. It's really easy.
That's so good.
That's actually very true. There are people who literally wait to find out what we're doing at the end of a service to see, because very often our pizza oven is already running, and so it's easy to just go home and if we, like, cooking pizzas actually takes some planning, but doing Mexican takes no planning.
That was cool.
And one of my favourite moments of all time was we had a gathering after church one Saturday night, and literally just people just started coming, and we didn't have Mexican stuff at home, but the pizza oven was hot. And so what we said was just bring stuff along the way. There's a Woolworths nearby. I went to Woolworths, lingered around a little bit too long. I got home and there would have been 20 people standing around a bench in a house cooking together. So that it wasn't one person's job. Everybody was cooking. And I took a photograph and it just gave me tingles.
Yeah, absolutely. What they did last week was great, because with the pizza oven, they just said, bring your own pizza toppings. And so on this big table ended up all these incredible pizza toppings. And then people just went around and made their own pizza, brought it to Russ. He put it in the oven, except for me. I was told under strict instructions that I had to put my own pizza in the oven. You remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it singed all the hairs off my oven. And then got it out. And then, of course, you cut it up and then you just share it around. So you don't just eat your own pizza. You share it around and enjoy it together. So it's wonderful.
Touch on the question that you asked Di as well, is how do we organise people?
Yeah.
So it's really simple. We set up a Facebook Messenger group. Me and I invite one more person. And then that person becomes the co-host with me or us to do it. And then that person's role is to invite somebody they think I don't know. And then I invite one more person I think they don't know, until we get around about 30. Now, last Saturday night, there was over 40 people. But in mid-afternoon, it was mid-20s, and then it dropped down a little bit. And then in the end of the evening, it was over 40 people. So everyone there shouldn't know somebody else. Mm. So you end up with a lot of people that you just get to meet for the first time, which is the thing that really inspires me.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely wonderful. I loved it. And love what you're doing. Love your hearts. You guys are amazing. What advice would you give to others who are saying, like, yeah, I would love to do some hospitality. I don't have a pizza oven, but what advice would you give to them?
We're blessed because somebody else is already replicating what we're doing and they don't have a pizza oven. So if you want to make your own home pizza oven, it's very simple. Turn your barbecue up as high as it possibly can. Get a ceramic tile and put it in your barbecue and get it really hot, and then close the lid on it, let it get super hot, and you've got a pizza oven. That's a first gift for you. But there are people who are already replicating this. So just make yourself open to connection. That's it. Don't say no if somebody asks you. Say next time or not right now, but don't say no ever. Our goal is to connect everybody in the church this year. Wonderful. Through Meet the Family.
So good. Can you put your hands together for these guys? So inspiring. Bless you. Thanks so much, Russ. That's good. So Russ and Di will be at the back of the auditorium at the end of the service, and just letting you know what to bring tonight. Uber Eats, okay. We want to celebrate with another wonderful couple here at Bayside, who've been part of our church for many, many years. And we love them dearly. And yesterday, they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And so I'm going to invite them to come to the front here. Graham and Gaynor Crossan, please put your hands together for these people. Wonderful, wonderful people. Love these guys dearly. A lot of you would know Graham and Gaynor, yeah? Just let me see a show of hands, yeah. I always see them surrounded by people, and they're just so inspiring and so encouraging. Whenever I spend time with this man, I'm always refreshed. And you know, he never talks about the challenges that he is facing in life. Well, not with me anyway. And he'll only tell me how he is if I ask him. So, which is great, you know. It's really, really good. So 50 years. And so we're going to pray for you in just a moment. 50 years yesterday. So first of all, congratulations. Can we give them a big cheer? We shouldn't just give you a cheer, we should give you a medal. So Graham actually has something for you, but it's not a medal, but it is a little gift that he wants to give you. But he's written something that he would like me to read out. He's got a bit of a frog in his throat at the moment, so he's asked me to read this rather than him speaking. And so...
He always does this.
He always does this.
He uses me to
Oh, dear. We got tissues somewhere at the front, I think, yeah. So, Gaynor, this is what Graham has written. Long ago, I was a single G, G for Graham. I was a flimsy G at that, prone to wafting about in the breeze, landing wherever life took me. Being a single G didn't suit me, but a second G stepped into my life and changed everything. That was Gaynor. This was a G who was grounded in faith. I didn't realize at the time the value of this faith, but I knew she was different. G1 and G2 were attracted, like gravity, a primal force. We got married 50 years ago, the 22nd of the 2nd. Just to ensure that I always understood how the relationship should work, we'd been given the initials GA and GB. Gaynor is GA. I am GB. A constant reminder to me of who comes first in our relationship. Recently, I realized there'd always been a third G overseeing our life together. This was the big G who has held us together after placing us together. So we are now not G and G, but G3. That might sound like old technology, but it works for us. Amen. And so he finishes here and he says, this gift is a tribute to the other two G's in my life. And so we've got the gift, Christy B. This is from GB to GA. Beautiful. Now, just while Christy puts that on, Gaynor, I just want to let you know that we have some food here tonight to have just with a cup of tea or a coffee so that we can actually put tonight's message into practice. So I want you to stay and eat and drink together. Does that sound okay? And can I encourage you to look out for someone that you've never met and go and have a conversation with them. Ask them their name, tell them yours, tell them your name again because they'll forget it. Ask their name again and then have a conversation before you go home. And then some of you want to invite people out for supper. Invite them to your home, go out together and enjoy their company and God's company together because it's the gospel to go. Amen. We're going to pray for these guys. Let's pray. You stretch your hands out to Graham and Gaynor. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this precious, precious couple. We thank you that you have brought them into this church. You've brought them into our lives. We love them dearly and deeply. And Lord, it is such an honor to do this journey with them. I thank you for the love they have for each other and the love that they have for you. And that love, that threefold cord that has led them through 50 years, through highs and lows, through good times and not so good. But Lord God, your faithfulness and their love is strong. And so, Father, by the laying on of hands, we ask that you will bless them, that you will fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, and may the rest of their lives together be glorious and sweet in your presence. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you both. Wonderful.